I spent most of my life picking a teddy bear to spend the night with me, grabbing my pillow and my blanket, and I slept in front of the door where 3 to 4 nights a week I would stop her from committing suicide. You are not depressed, you're feeling depressed. You are not anxious, you're feeling anxious. You are not anything, you may be feeling it. It's an emotion that flees, but don't make that your identity and who you are. If you are
Wow.
suffering, if you are in anxiety, if you are in depression, if you just feel stuck, if you have someone who you're in their life and they just don't treat you well, they don't speak to you well, and you feel that that's what you're worth. Well, let me tell you something that I went through. Let me tell you what God thinks about that, because you have to know.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello, sweet friend. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Visibly Fit Podcast, and I'm your host, Wendy Pett. You know, every week we talk about what it means to be visibly fit in mind, body, spirit, and emotions. We talk a lot here about living authentically and really embracing who we really are, who God says that we are. And so today I'm really excited to introduce our guest here today. Her name is Melanie Cox, and she is a very passionate, and I mean very passionate, you'll hear, she's a lot of fun, author, speaker, and marriage and business coach. And she's dedicated to helping women break free from shame, perfectionism, and the burdens of religious striving. Melanie's mission is rooted in radical authenticity, hope, and restoration. And she has a new book out. It's called You Have to Know. And it takes readers on a vulnerable and victorious journey from self-hatred to beloved identity through real life stories, which some of them are really deep and profound, and some of them are just really funny. There's also biblical truths, of course, and soul deep journaling prompts. So that will be very wonderful for you as you go through her devotional. But she invites us to encounter the Father's love and really reclaim our true voices and our identity in Him. Now, Melanie walks alongside her readers, not just ahead of them, right? She's walks as like a friend who's been through the fire, because she's been there and she's found freedom on the other side. And she really wants you, she wants women to be free from confusion. She wants you to be healed from your past wounds, rebuild your identity and God's love, and encounter the Holy Spirit, and to walk in true freedom and in peace. So get ready for a soul-stirring conversation. It's going to invite you to meet God in the middle of your mess and hopefully discover that you are fully known, deeply loved, and you're never too far gone. So let's welcome Melanie Cox to the show. Hey, Melanie Cox, welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. It's a joy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is so fun. You have recently, I mean like recently, like a month ago, written this book, You Have to Know. And it's what you've lived, like what I've lived is what it says, but what you've lived, what He's shown, so what God has shown, mm-hmm. and what you need to know as the reader. And it's a guided devotional journey to unlock love, healing, and purpose. I love it. So let's get started immediately. Like, why did you write this devotional? And, you know, what have you lived? We want to know, what has Melanie lived?
Okay. I've lived a lot. If you read the book, I have been through more fires than anyone should have to go through. And the blessing is I don't see that I've been burnt. I see the provision of God. Mm-hmm. And I did not write a book. So what happened was I was in the doctor's office and I got bad news, and you know, it was thyroid cancer. And I thought, okay, wow. And I remember sitting in my car and it was a rainy day. And I don't know if you've ever looked out your window, but one raindrop hits another and it starts gathering and it gets heavy and then it falls all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I just sat there and I looked at the raindrop and I was like, do the kids know everything that they need to know in order for me to see them in heaven? Do they know how good God is? Do they know the glory of God? Is there ever going to be a time when they're stuck that they don't know? Because I'm not going to be able to tell them.
Yeah.
So I went home and I picked up the Bible, and I am a woman who I am obsessed with the Word. I'm obsessed with the Holy Spirit. I have lived through so much, and I have come through the other side with such freedom, and not just freedom, but joy, and
yes.
not just joy, but living in the abundance overflow of God's love.
Yes.
And I thought, man, if you go through one of my fires, then you got to know. So I would start writing the kids. I'm like, kids, let me tell you a story. And, and some of them are pretty funny, and some of them are super crazy. And it's like, but let me show you where God met me. And now let me show you the Bible 2000 years ago where God met them. And man, if you're going through anxiety, if you're going through this, can you just ruminate on these scriptures? Can you know that God's going to meet you? And I started off every chapter with, you guys, you have to know. If you are suffering, if you are in anxiety, if you are in depression, if you just feel stuck, if you have someone who you're in their life and they just don't treat you well, they don't speak to you well, and you feel that that's what you're worth. Well, let me tell you something that I went through. Let me tell you what God thinks about that, because you have to know.
Wow.
And when
first
I finished the book.
Yeah, go
sorry,
ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, first of all, I just want to say it takes vulnerability to unpack that and to be sharing with your children and others. And I just want to say thank you for being courageous, because it does. It takes humility and vulnerability, and that benefits others. So way to go.
Yeah. And what I love is, I don't think I would have been, I mean, there's some stories in there that I do not look good. You know, there was a time that I stole a toaster accidentally in Target. And this isn't like when
Wait,
I was a kid.
Accidentally? What do you mean?
So it was a story about, it was Christmas, and it was 2 days before Christmas, and I procrastinated like everyone else. And I'm walking with little babies, and I'm, you know, like I'm cart checking people, and I'm grabbing the last Barbie, and I am all forms of bah humbug. So I wait my 9 hours in line, and I'm parked in a different zip code, like every other loser parent there. And I go and I unload it, and I walk all the way out to the car, and all of a sudden I land the bottom of my cart, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not pay for the toaster. And the Holy Spirit was like, you're going to take that back, right? And I'm like, no, Holy Spirit, I'm tired. It's like, I'm tired. And I said, I can't wait. And like, did you see the return?
Take it back tomorrow.
Yeah. And then it was like, well, Target makes enough money, and for sure I'll bring it back tomorrow. Okay. After Christmas. And maybe after Christmas might be too much, because there's a lot of returns. And all of a sudden I start negotiating with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is telling me, Melanie, you returned the toaster. You stole it. And I knew that I knew that I knew I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I compromised on it. And then so I go home, and that night, my brand new car, the windows smashed out, every gift, my all the food, everything that I didn't loan is stolen out of the car. And I tell this story to the kids, and I'm like, look, you always have free will and free choice.
Yes.
And the second that you choose to step outside of God's umbrella of protection, God loves you. God knows you. God sees you. God literally cannot protect you, because you have chosen to step outside of that umbrella.
Right.
Look what happened to me.
Right. And God didn't do that to you. And I want to be clear about that, because a lot of people say, well, God did this to me because, you know what I mean? They have the messed up mindset and understanding of who God is.
No.
And so, but you're right. You come under you're under the covering of his protection.
Uh-huh.
And then once you willfully and knowingly sin, you are out of his protection. I mean, even when you're sinning in general, but I'm just saying, you're out of his umbrella of care.
Yeah.
A mama bird with the babies under her wings, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
And it was even more because the Holy Spirit warned me. It's not even that God did not do it. The Holy Spirit was like,
Melanie,
please.
You just weren't being obedient.
Yeah. Please do not steal that toaster. Holy Spirit, I'm tired. Please, Melanie, I love you, my daughter. You have no idea what's on the other end of that choice.
Yeah.
You know? And I chose wrong. I have the freedom to choose rightly and wrongly. And unfortunately, I chose wrongly.
Yeah.
But it was like, kids, the Holy Spirit will talk to you. Make good choices. You have free choice. Choose rightly.
Yes.
So that chapter's about that. And then there's scriptures. There's a story in the Bible that goes with it. And then some heart checks at the end with, like, you know, where have you chosen wrongly? Can you repent for that and start walking righteously?
Yeah. And the answer to that, can you repent for that? Yes. Yes, you can repent for that.
Yeah.
It's never too late. Okay. So that's kind of a funny story, but I do want to kind of go back to a place when you were not in a good health place. You were in a state of depression and in bed for a while. I kind of want to go to that story, if you're cool with that, because I have, I don't know if you want to share, but I just have some patients that struggle, right? That have gone through some depression. They don't feel like they can get out. And you've been through it. And I have too. And so I just want to hear your story and just how God is so good.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to combine two stories in one. Okay. The first one is the definition of stuck as an inability to move. Mm-hmm. So the second that you take one step forward, the smallest step that you move your shoe, well, then you are no longer stuck. You are in a flow of movement. So the first thing is, it's like, you guys, you got to move. Yeah, you have got to move.
Yes.
And there was a time when I was little, my grandmother was a white witch. My grandfather was a Freemason. My mother was horribly abused. Wow. And she dealt with severe depression. I spent most of my life picking a teddy bear to spend the night with me, grabbing my pillow and my blanket. And I slept in front of the door where 3 to 4 nights a week, I would stop her from committing suicide. You know, mom, it's like, please, like, I have a joke. Wait, but we're going to draw tomorrow. Mom, look what I had planned. Mm. And all of a sudden I hit 8th grade and the responsibility of keeping someone else's alive for someone else's happiness was so overwhelming. I tried to take my own life as a little girl. And sure. I remember just going, so I'm in the same nut house my mom is. How did this happen? And the first thing I would tell the patients is, man, I know it's tough, but you have got to do right by your family. You've got to be right by the people. And I know that things in your past are hurtful and we all want to ruminate it, but do not be a victim. Do not let that be your life, because there are people who depend on you
and
your love. It's like, if you weren't loved when you were in the past, okay. But you know what? Can you look around and see how you're loved today?
Yes.
Because there's someone in your life that loves you today and they need you and they depend on you. So
and
get healthy for them.
Yes. And sometimes it's about a forgiveness piece, right? And it's a loving yourself, loving yourself well, and seeing your eyes through the lens of God, you know, and loving yourself first so we can love others and receive love, right?
100%.
That's so good. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you're big on this, kind of piggybacks on this, but we didn't go to where I wanted to go. So maybe we go there.
The second half of the story is, all I wanted was babies. When I grow up, I'm going to have a family. I'm not going to throw my kid away. I'm going to love them. I'm going to change the cycle. Babies. So I get married and I tell my family I'm coming home from my honeymoon pregnant. It's not a shotgun wedding, but I'm having babies.
Yeah.
And I came home and I wasn't pregnant. And a month went by, 2 months went by, 3 months, a year, 2 years. We saw all the fertility specialists, the best of the best of the best. We mortgaged our house. We had to move out because we spent so much on infertility. Mm. So in the fourth year, I put myself to bed. I remember taking my Bible and I put it up and I said, God, you are no God of mine, because you said you would give me the desires of your heart, and you are a liar. When you said that you would come, when you said that you would hold me, when you said that you would be there, you lied, because it's the only thing that I've desired my whole life. And you failed me, God. Mm-hmm. And I took the Bible and I threw it down on the desk and I said, you are no longer my God. And I put myself to bed for a little over a year. And my hair became so matted that my husband had to cut it away. And I had a little small bob. And every day he would pick me up and pull me out of bed and he'd sit me by this window. And he'd say, Melanie, you are enough for me. And God loves you. And if you would only feel the sun on your face today. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I'm not enough for anyone, Eric. And you are a good looking man that deserves someone better than me. You've got to leave me and find someone who can give you a family, because I cannot. And every day for over a year, it was the same thing. You are enough for me. And God loves you, Melanie. You have to know how much God loves you. And if you would only feel the sun on your face today. And after a year, I was going to the restroom and I shuffled out of bed and I saw the Bible and it was dusty. And I picked it up and I said, okay, God, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you have something to say, this is when you say it. And if you've ever flipped through your Bible and closed your eyes and put your finger on something, it said, the night has been long, but morning is coming. And I remember dropping to my knees, just saying, God, will you forgive me? Mm-hmm. And it's like, how could I not know that you didn't see me and love me? Oh, God, forgive me. And I felt this resting in my spirit, and where God said, well, Melanie, what are you thankful for? And I looked around and all of a sudden I saw my fat dog and I said, that fat dog has been there every single day, all day long, laying there with me. Oh God, I'm thankful for my fat dog. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that the sun's on my face. And I went outside for the first time in a year and my tomatoes were growing. God, I love tomatoes. You kept them alive and I didn't even water them. And oh, they're in full bloom, God. You love me enough to hold my garden for me. Thank you, God. And for the husband that comes home every day to a crazy wife that loves me enough to pick me up, to feel the sun on my face. God, you gave me that. You are so good, God. And what God showed me in that time was, just because you were in the middle of a storm does not mean the absence of God. That's and right. just because you can't see God working, you have no idea what's on the other end of that promise. And what God really wanted was my surrender to say, God, in my mess, in my sadness, in the despair, you are worthy, you are good, you are still sitting on the throne, you are the God in heaven, and I honor you because you are worth all of it. If the only thing that you did was die for me, well, then you have done enough. Yes. You've done enough, God. And forgive me for not seeing that. Mm. And I surrendered it. Oh, thank you, God, for my life. Thank you. Powerful. Thank you that I'm going to love a kid that's not my own. Thank you, God, that you've got me on a path. Oh, it's going to be good, God. I can't see it, but I know it's good because I know you love me. And I went to church and this woman comes up to me and I had never met her. And she goes, oh my gosh, you're Lisa's sister. And I said, yeah, God told me you were going to meet Lisa's sister today. And God said that he's heard your cries. Oh, wait, I went through the Bible and I looked at every woman who couldn't have babies. And I said, God, I'm not asking, but if you did it for Sarah, could you do it for Melanie? And mm-hmm. and if you did it for Rachel, man, I know you could do it for Melanie. And what about Hannah? You did it for Hannah. Would you love me enough to do it for Melanie? And so she says, God heard your prayer and you did something that God loved. And I said, oh, I did. And she said, you're pregnant with a baby boy and it's a gift from God.
Oh,
and I
goodness.
Just remember looking at her and I said, F you. And wow. I have words that came out of my mouth that I didn't even know I knew those words. I don't know where I picked them up, but it was nouns and adjectives on top of more nouns and strings of them at church and the finger pointing because I was so frustrated. It's like, you don't know where I've been. And you just told me something that I know is not possible. How dare you put me in that position where I now doubt God again? So I went home and I took a pregnancy test and where there should not have been a blue line, there was a blue line. And I was like, I went and I bought every test at CVS. I had to have all of them. And
you know,
I came home and I went back in bed and Eric comes home and Eric says, Melanie, we're not doing this again, are we? And I said, no, Eric, we're not. And I said, because I have something to show you. And I pull out this bucket of a pregnancy test. I said, because I'm pregnant.
Wow.
And it's like, God is good. God is good and God is faithful so much more than you guys know. And God yeah. sees you and God knows your struggles. But on the other end of your wilderness, God has already put a path for you out. Yeah. And you got to look for the path. You got to maybe clear some bushes, but you got to trust that God has that path. And you got to close your eyes and you got to put your hand out and you got to start walking.
Yeah. And you Melanie, you exactly. And you actually, you know, changed the trajectory based on your repentance and your activation of giving him praise and what yeah. a saint of a husband you have. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, thank God you know, he put him by your side to continue to speak truth over you and love on you. And, you know, sometimes we need those people, but it's not about the people around us. It's about what's in our heart and how we start to activate the blessings and activate the ways in which we are to live our life. And if we stay stuck, like you said, stuck in the rut of, because it literally is a rut in the brain, right? Neurons
100%.
That wire and fire together and we create that groove in the brain, like habitually talking negative talk to ourselves. That's an unhealthy habit that's created a groove. Well, it's time to create a new groove that is truth, that is speaking life over your life. And so that woman was speaking life over you. But even in that moment, after you had repented and changed, and you still had a hard time receiving it, right? Like you were trying to kibosh what she was speaking over you. So praise God that didn't happen, that God allowed the life to come forward. But I just think how often women are constantly, habitually speaking just death over themselves. And so what do you have to say about that?
Okay. I have a saying in my family, and if I had my kids, I'd pull them all in. And it is that the enemy cannot hear your thoughts, only your words. So be careful what you give him. Do not give him something that you do not want him to use against you. You are not depressed. You're feeling depressed. You are not anxious. You're feeling anxious. You are not anything. You may be feeling it. It's an emotion that flees, but don't make that your identity and who you are.
That's right.
And when I'm feeling frustrated or upset, I find a Bible verse, the breathing word of God. And I say, Father God, I'm not feeling it today. You know, I got a big tax bill. I got something in the company that's not going right, but you've said you've come to give me life and life abundantly. Thank you, Father God, that you're working on this.
You're my provider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if I don't feel it in my heart, I speak it in my mouth.
Yes.
There was a study, I quote this in my book, that blew my mind. And tell me if you've heard it. It was by
Dr. Emoto. Yep.
Yeah. So then the study. And where he just started speaking life to water. And when he said, "Ah, oh, you're beautiful. I love you. You're fantastic." It was this beautiful, flowing, poetic frequency that was frozen in the water.
Yeah.
And then when he started speaking death, when he's like, "You're ugly. You're hateful. You're this." And then he froze that water. It was very chaotic lines.
Right.
And if our body is 90% water, or that's close to it, or whatever it is, man, why would you do that to yourself?
Right.
You know, and even
even our body knows what we're thinking.
Okay. 100%.
So that's why we need to hold our thoughts captive. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And really just immerse ourselves in God's word and God's truth. And, and it takes practice, you know, it's not like, you know, those negative thoughts just, I mean, we're all human, we're going to have them, but it's getting them more, you know, where it's fewer and far between, where it's like, oh no, I know who I am in Christ. And this is what I speak over my life. And therefore, beautiful things manifest because we are in the flow of his will, the flow of his desire, the flow of,
amen. You know,
exactly. Right. And he wants our heart's desire. And when it's in alignment with his, the world is well. I mean, we have other people in the world that have free will and can cause some chaos, but you know, ultimately we just keep our eyes focused on the one, right. And he continues to light up our path. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your book, because I know you're so passionate about it, and I'm excited for you because it is
my favorite subject right now.
So let's talk a little bit about just kind of, you know, maybe something in particular that is one of your favorite stories or devotions that you have in there, and something that's really resonating on your heart right now that you think we need to know.
Yeah, I have a favorite story for your audiences especially. So I have a little girl. She's my middle child out of five, and her name's Kylie, but we call her Kai Kong still today.
Wait, hold on. You have five kids.
Five kids.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah. I mean, look, my God doesn't come to show up. My God comes to show off.
Yes.
My God's not in the little. My God's in the big. That's who my God is.
That's right. You know? That's right. All right. So little Kylie.
Yeah, so Kai Kong, she has two older brothers, and she's the type of little girl that's five kids in one. And she would hide behind pillars, and the kids would build these extravagant Legos, and she would wait for them to be done so she could come. And all of a sudden, she'd run out and, Kai-Zilla, and destroy anything that they could build. Kylie could destroy in half the time. It was actually an art form. It was, you know, you never knew where she was going to hide it. So you always kind of, you know, like Pink Panther, you know, you always have to kind of wait and see where she's going to pop out. And my mom did not see Kylie how Eric and I saw Kylie. And every time she would come over, it was always criticism. It was always, you know, something's wrong with that kid, Melanie. Got to take her in. Something's wrong with that kid. That kid's not right. That kid's not right. And we never allowed her words to sit on Kylie. And we'd sit Kylie down and we'd say, Kylie, your grandma doesn't know. And your grandma's not really healthy. But you are beautiful. You are amazing. And we'd start speaking life into her.
Yeah.
So Kylie did not like her grandmother. And when Thanksgiving came and I tried to get them to a peaceful state. So I said, Kylie, can you go help grandma set the table? Oh yeah. Okay, mom. She's five. And my mom would put a napkin down and Kylie would pick it up and she'd shove it in her little Thanksgiving dress that was all embroidered in you know, the turkey. And then she'd start walking around. I'm a puppet. Kylie, stop picking that up. But I'm a puppet, grandma. Kylie, stop touching that. Ah, Kylie, you know, something's wrong with you, Kylie. And you'd hear him and they just hear him bickering and arguing. And at the end of the table setting, we sit down and it's my first Thanksgiving. And all of a sudden, Kylie stomps off out of the room. I'm like, oh boy. And Kylie, dinner, Kylie, honey, nothing. Kylie, I don't want to come with grandma. Kylie, please just come to the table. Okay. She comes down stark naked. And I'm like, oh no. Like, and I don't even know. I know it's going to be something. I just, you know, it's
she's
a storm
hilarious.
Blowing.
Oh my
and
goodness. She's going to run a company someday.
Yeah. And she looks at grandma and Eric and I at the end of the table. And she takes a step up. Kylie, get down off the Thanksgiving table. Grandma says, she takes another step on. Kylie, get off the table. Now she's fully on the table. All of a sudden she looks at her dad's eyes and she knows that she's done something wrong. She knows that it's inappropriate, but she's so frustrated with the words that were said to her. And all of a sudden, Eric stands up and he reaches his arms out and she starts running the length of that table and she kicks the turkey into the dog's mouth and she steps in the mashed potatoes and she kicks over the rolls and she completely destroys Thanksgiving dinner. And she runs and she does the biggest flying leap any five-year-old ever has, and her father catches her.
Aww.
And he looks down at my mom and Jackie says, "I told you something's wrong with that kid." And he says, "I told you, Jackie, she's perfect."
Aww.
And he walks her away. And that story in the book, I love because it's so God. God, it doesn't matter our mess. It doesn't matter that we're stepping in the gravy and knocking over the turkey. And it doesn't matter what we've done. And I said, kids, especially daughters, the world will always tell you, you are not enough. You are not smart enough. You are not pretty enough. You are not good enough. It is the nature of the enemy and the nature of the world.
Right.
But if you can see yourself through your father's eyes, that your father loves you no matter what, that I don't care what you are in the middle of, naked, running the Thanksgiving table, your father stands up and he reaches his arms out and he's ready to catch you. And not only does he catch you, he holds you, he protects you, and he gives you a new identity. He turns and he says, "This is my daughter and she is perfectly
perfect
and wonderfully made."
Yes. Oh,
and
I
it doesn't
that.
Matter what people tell you. And oh man, I just love that story because it's like, girls, it's like, know your worth. God calls you a friend, daughter, beloved, redeemed, restored, friend, heir to his kingdom.
Yeah, a lot of women have been suffering for a long time because they don't know their identity, and they were brought up in a home where their mom didn't know their identity, and then their mom didn't know their identity.
Yeah.
And so it's just been this generational stuck point, right?
Yeah.
And so it's time that we really like stop the insanity and stop the generational lies and get into a space of walking out who we really were created to be.
Uh-huh.
And so I love that story so much because I can just visually see it and it's hilarious. But I would love to meet little Kylie. I think she's already just hysterical.
She takes center stage in the book for sure. There's a lot of like,
My goodness. I mean, a spirited child, but man, she, like I said, she's going to run a company someday or something. She's just going to
run the world or end up in prison, but I'm not going to curse her.
No,
so I'm gonna
let's
say,
not
end up,
say that.
She's going to rule the world. Yeah. She's 20 and she's got her pilot's license and she's in college and she's valedictorian. And you have to encourage what God, you know, God
That's
made her
right.
a strong woman, but
yes.
man, that kid's going to be a force.
Yeah.
She's going to take over the world for the kingdom. I can't wait to be
That's
a part
right.
of it.
That's right. That's so good. And we keep speaking that kind of life over our children and adult children, and God, just let God do the rest, right? Like we got to get out of the way, but keep speaking life over our children. So you minister quite a bit, you and your husband, Eric. But you know, you've got a couple things that you kind of focus on, but do you mainly focus on marriage and motherhood, or kind of what's your main focus? Because you've got to, I mean, maybe it's just and you can do business coaching. I mean, like you kind of are multifaceted in your expertise, but what do you love to do the most?
Eric and I are CEOs. We run two companies, so we'll often get asked to speak in God in your business and where God falls there.
What kind of companies do you have? What are your businesses?
So we were partners with a company that manufactures drywall for all the Home Depots on the Western 11 United States. And then my husband and I run development companies, and we take grandma's cute little house with the little white picket fence and the little doilies and the sweet garden. and then we take a wrecking ball to it.
Then
we buy the neighbor's house and then we put up high rises.
And no more doilies.
I tell people, only in LA, which is so gross anyway, anything's an improvement. Not in Orange County, not in your neighborhood. You know? So I keep friends with my neighbors.
That's
but
so
we but do marriage.
Marriage counseling.
So I'm head over heels in love with Eric. So 31 years. So we do marriage, but I'm really, really passionate about women. I'm passionate about women being free from all the nonsense that the enemy puts in their life.
Yeah.
And it's nonsense. It's like, you know, look at the lie.
Yeah. And what would you say, since you are really focused and passionate about women, those that have really had a dream kind of just locked up in their heart and they just haven't brought it to fruition. They haven't taken the step to do it. They've got, I mean, it goes back to the lies, of course, but what would you tell this person that is like, you know, because we don't want to have regrets, right? We want to live our life full. and with abundance. And so
purposeful.
And purposeful, absolutely. Yeah. And on mm-hmm. God's plan. But what would you say that person that's like, gosh, I've always wanted to do this or that, and maybe they feel like they're too old, it's too late. What would you say to that person that would encourage them today?
Well, on the too old, if you're 20, but you die at 30, well, then you're pretty old. Mm. But if you're 50 and you live to be 100, well, then you're pretty young.
There you go.
So your life is not based on your birth date. It's based on your death date. So don't disqualify yourself for age. Age should never be a qualifying factor.
And you same with your health and your well-being journey. Age doesn't matter. You can start today.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, if you have a dream in your heart, it's because God placed it there. That each one of us were perfectly and wonderfully made, known in our mothers. Listen to this verse. Knitted together. Knitted. Right. Have you ever knitted? I can't even.
No, I have not.
It's not easy. I am not successful at it. But knitted together in your mother's womb. That is a painstakingly timed.
Very detailed.
Project. Mm-hmm. Very detailed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
God knows you. God has a purpose. If that dream is in your heart, it's a God-placed dream.
Yeah.
And you are actually failing God, because each one of us is made so uniquely purposed for what God has for us. So if you are not living to your dream, then you're failing God, because God put that dream in you.
Mm.
So your platform is really a purpose to further God's kingdom. And
Absolutely.
Only you are suited to do it. There is no other you. There's no other fingerprint, no other you.
That's right.
And one of my favorite stories is, I love the stories of 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden they go out and they're like, God, like, we've got nothing. And God's like, well, what do you have?
Right.
Nothing. Well, go and look. Okay. Probably said it like that. Go look. Okay, God, I'll go look. And he come back with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the second that you take your little and you place that in the hands of a multiplying God, well, then you got a lot. You've got enough to feed. It says 5,000 men, but they only counted the men. There was probably 15,000 to 20,000 people that ate off of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you want to know why? Because they put it in the Father's hand, and the Father looked up to heaven, and the Father blessed it, and there was a multiplication of it. It says an overabundance, so much so, they were so overfull and so satisfied that they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers.
Yeah.
So your dream is, you are not too old. You are not too young. You are not smart enough. You don't have enough money. If only I had her connections. If only I looked like her. If only.
No, God is our CEO.
You are enough.
Yeah.
Exactly
enough.
How you are. Put your dreams in the hands of a multiplying God. Man, and look what happens.
Yes.
Look what happens.
That's so good. That's so good. And I really want my patients to hear that in terms of their health and their well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their dream is to be healthy and well. And they think, mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm too old, or I don't mm-hmm. have the funds to do that or do that. And they do that comparison mm-hmm. thing. No,
mm-hmm.
we have an incredible God who wants you healthy and well, and he created you to be healthy, whole, and complete. And so it's just, do the little, take that first step, take mm-hmm. that first walk around the block. Just keep going, keep mm-hmm. doing. And same with business, same with mm-hmm. ministry, same with all of it. So I love it. That's so good. Well, as we wrap up here today, I want people to go and get your devotional, You Have to
Yay!
Know. And where would people go to get that?
It's on Amazon, You Have to Know, MelanieCox.org.
Okay.
There's a
I'll
website.
Put that in the show notes as well.
That my publicist put up. She's so fantastic. And if you have any questions, it's Melanie Cox on Instagram. I love prayer. Man, if you're going through something, I'm probably currently praying for 40 people I've never met. But
awesome.
I love the movement of God. I love the heart of God.
I love
so
it.
If you want to get a hold of me, DM me. I will pray for you. I will stand with you. If you can't afford the book, I will send it to you, because I want to see women free, and not just free, an overabundance of life. An overflow, you know, I want you to receive what God has for you, and let there be an overflow that they pick up 12 baskets full.
Yes.
That's what
yes.
I'm hoping for women.
Well, you have been, because you've been in the down and out, you've been in that bed for a year, and you see how good and faithful God is. And I just hear the passion and the urgency. I think that's what it is. It's the urgency to take women and shake them by the shoulders and say, don't you understand?
Yeah.
And so I feel the same way. And so I love that about you. And so I know this devotional will be a helpful wake up you know, kind of just, you know, shaking these women by the shoulders in a loving way to get them into where God wants them to be. So thank you. Thank you for writing this
book. I actually wanted to name the book A Punch in Your Face. I'm like, Eric, I'm going to name it A Punch in Your Face.
There we go.
And I said, because that's how I feel. I feel like, wake up and have a look, like God has this life waiting for you.
Right.
Like, get out of bed.
Get up.
Go find it. It's fantastic.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's so good. Well, God bless you, Melanie. As we wrap this up, because you're just so much fun, I'm just curious, what do you and Eric, or maybe you and the kids, like, love to do for fun? Or maybe it's just you on your own. What is kind of a thing that you enjoy doing, a habit, an adventure? Maybe you play a musical instrument. I don't know. What do you like to do for fun?
So when I first met my husband before we started the company, he was on SWAT team. So we are all forms of high adventure.
Fun.
I love being with my kids.
Adrenaline junkies.
The second they walk out the door and I'm like, you coming back? Where are you going? Would you need, you know, do you want someone to go to the grocery store with you? I'll go. So I love being with the kids. We love to travel, dirt bikes and razors and wake surfing. And,
oh, I love it.
You know, anything that gets you outside and is just a little bit out of the norm, we're pretty much all in for.
That's cool. It sounds like you're a woman after my own heart.
Yeah, I'm not a TV watcher. Matter of fact, I don't even have cable. So
yeah, good, good. Nothing good on there anyway. So
no.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for being on the show. And those of you listening, again, I'll put the link in the show notes. But God bless you, Melanie. And I appreciate it.
Would you mind? Can I pray us out?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Come on now.
All right.
Father God, I just thank you for these women listening. I pray that you start opening up their hearts and the minds to the potential that you have for them, that you know them, that you love them, that you see them, Father God, and that they start living full lives. A life that you have intended for them, that you have planned for them, that is already waiting for them. And let them get up and start walking towards them. We pray blessings on them, family, and just on their life. Thank you for Wendy, that she has a voice, that she's heeding the call to bring women into the fullness. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Melanie. Have an awesome day. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Wendy.
As always, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Visibly Fit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed our time together today with Melanie Cox, and I hope you will go and get her devotional, You Have to Know. And you can go to melaniecox.org. Again, I'll put that in the show notes, or go to Amazon to get her devotional. Again, I think you're going to really enjoy it, and it's going to just really be a blessing to your journey. We all are going through something, right? We need to hear from other people's stories. And so anyway, so thankful that she could come on and share her passion and her love of Jesus. And if you are on a mission to get into your best, healthiest self, you know where to go. I say it almost at every end of every show. Go to getvisiblyfit.com, or you can go to my regular website at wendypet.com. But I want you to, you're not too old. It's not too late. Just like Melanie said, you can get into your best health no matter what condition you are in currently. It's about changing the way you think and getting into a place of being unstuck. And so I can help you get unstuck. So go to getvisiblyfit.com and it can give you all the details there. But let's get started today. Let's get you on the trajectory, the path that God really wants for you. And that's to be healthy, whole, and complete. All right. If you have questions, email me, let me know, but I will put show notes and this link to Get Visibly Fit, of course, in the show notes as well. And I'm here for you. Let's do this. All right. God bless. Catch you next time right here on Visibly Fit.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.